What's up? Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome everyone to another exciting episode of the Army of Smartness podcast. I'm your co-host Ryan. Today on the show, we got a few things to talk about with our dear beloved departed Georgia Bulldogs. MJF being cut out of the Iron Claw. I don't know about that. AEW can't seem to stay within a time limit. Charlotte, bless her heart, has apparently gotten injured. CM Punk is promoing the hell out of them promos. And Bischoff maybe had a crush on Miss China. But if I'm a co-host, that means that there is a star of the show, the Garfunkel to my oats, Mr. JD. JD, how you be?
Oh, I'd be like a bridge over troubled waters, or bridge over a rich girl, something like that. What would Garfunkel and Oates have besides the loophole?
The sound of Maneater.
The sound of Maneater. Yeah, that would work. I can't go for Kodachrome, or no, that was just Paul Simon by himself.
Maneater of Darkness. How about that?
Man Eater of Darkness. I like that one. That's a good one. I'm doing well, Ryan. If you hear my voice squeaking, it's because my voice is squeaking. It's that time of year again where I have issues with my throat and my mucous membranes and all sorts of fun stuff like that. But we will power through. We will soldier on. We will sally forth and tally-ho and endeavor to persevere, just as we are with our Georgia Bulldogs on today's Army of Smartness. Let me talk to you about the Georgia Bulldogs. A lot of people running around talking about 4th-and-4. And indeed, that was a bad call. Not going to sugarcoat that. Bond did not have that catch on 4th-and-4. However, you're in my beloved University of Georgia Bulldogs. Got a false start on their own field goal, which made it just barely miss, and then lateraled essentially to Alabama at our own 10-yard line, which resulted in what, the 6 points for your Alabama Crimson Tide, basically a swing of 6 points. So we lost by three. Ryan, I got to tell you, friends and neighbors, that would have won us the game. Those would have won us the game. So I think we have no one to blame but ourselves, but we do have someone to blame when it comes to Free Shoes University being left out of these college football playoffs. I think you and I disagree on this one, Ryan, but that's all right. I find it patently unfair. Although I understand the reasoning behind it, I still find it unfair that you can do all that you are asked to do in an alleged power conference, go undefeated, and still have not won, not three, but two one-loss teams put in ahead of you. Ryan, I care not for this development.
Well, I'm not in disagreement with that, honestly.
Okay, I thought you were one of the ones saying, but they would have lost and this and that.
They absolutely will.
But, oh, I know, I understand that, but I mean, and I wonder.
I think it's a rule, though. If you go undefeated, you win your conference, there's two open spots, and you're in a Power 5.
Right, yeah, you're in a Power 5 conference. You should probably go in. Not, I mean, I think the playoff, being allowed in the playoff, should be based on what has happened, what you have accomplished, not what might hypothetically occur if you were to be.
And here's the thing, JD. If the argument is, yeah, but they're not one of the four best teams. Okay, well, you want to put the four best teams in there, you need to kick out Washington, because the four best teams in the country are Michigan, Georgia Bulldogs, the Alabama Crimson Tide, and the Texas Longhorns.
I would probably agree with that, but I'm not advocating for Georgia to be put in. Let me first of all say that.
No, I absolutely am.
You can. That's fine, but I am advocating for this year probably only an SEC-free college football playoff.
Absolutely not. If anyone should be kicked out, it should be the Texas Longhorns. They lost to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's trash.
So. But they beat Alabama. They are about Alabama's lone blemish on their record.
Yep, they sure did.
But so basically what you have, to me, you have three undefeated Power 5 champions. That's, as you said, automatic. You're in. Now you have Tejas and Alabama vying for that last spot. Now, normally you'd say you'd look at it like, well, let's look at strength of schedule. Let's look at that. They're both one loss conference champions, major conference champions. Oh man, we got to do some nitty gritty here. We got to do a little math, get the abacus out. Let's slide it around. Let's do, get one of those clear chalkboards with the markers all over them. But in this case, it's simple. They played each other and Texas won.
I would never go along with that.
I submit. Close. Then what the hell did they play the game for, Ryan?
I don't know why they played the game, but the best team in the best conference deserves to be in the top four.
The ACC had a winning record against the SEC this year. If
okay,
there is a year,
all,
if there's a
all,
year not to tout, oh, we're the best conference, it's this year.
First of all, let's stop pretending that a victory over Vanderbilt counts in that. Okay, it should not.
Victory over LSU should.
Not this year, apparently. But here's your thing. Bottom line is the best conference, and I think that you would agree, is SEC. Those are the best
teams. Top to
teams.
Bottom, I would say, yes, they generally are the best teams. Bowl
and
season
you can't
typically
tell me
bears
that the
that
best
out.
Team and the best conference is not among the four best. They are.
If they hadn't lost to the only other one-loss major conference champion, I would agree with you. But they had a head-to-head meeting and lost it.
Okay, he had a horseshoe up its ass for one game.
Don't give me horseshoes.
This
isn't the Colts.
They almost got beat by TCU. That was blown out by the damn powerhouse of Colorado.
Handshoes and horse grenades, my friend. They were not blown out by Colorado. They lost by one score, I believe, the TCU. But that's not even the point. If we're talking about that, how good did Alabama make South Florida look this year? Pretty damn good. And who, if we're going to talk about almost lost, needed a 4th-and-31 miracle to beat your Auburn Tigers.
Auburn would run the gamut in ACC.
That is not the issue here, dude.
Absolutely would.
You're like a child who wanders in the middle of a movie and wants to know. Also, this is not the way things should go. I'm just telling you right now. You play a team head-to-head, and it comes down to you and them for the last spot, you should get that spot.
I disagree.
That's insane. That is Homerism, my sir. That's Homerism. I'm spitting facts and fire.
Okay.
You're spitting.
Well, I think you're going to end up having a national championship of Alabama and Texas, and Alabama will win that.
Oh, yeah. Alabama, there is no question in no doubt in my mind, Alabama will win the world title, the national title this year, because that's just how shit goes. And yes, more than likely, Georgia will beat Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
To the extent
everybody's
that
gonna use
anybody
that as
plays
proof.
In the game.
Yeah, assuming anybody play. You and me, but we might be suiting up in the old red and black. But I have 4 years of eligibility left, just saying. That will be used by those who like to do this sort of thing as quote-unquote proof that the two right teams or that the right teams got in. I say that is not proof because – it's not going to be a representative Florida State team, obviously, but also, you win your conference as a major conference, you need to be in as an undefeated major conference champion. That's come on. Otherwise,
I agree with that. I just
the
don't think
ACC needs to disband immediately. It's only fair and only right if they cannot produce a representative schedule to allow their undefeated champion into the college football playoff over two defeated teams, then we all know why y'all even do this. Allow FSU to come in and Clemson to come in as football only members of the SEC. And just y'all, you know what? I'll trade you Kentucky in basketball for that. That Kentucky can be a basketball member, and we'll take these two as football members.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it looks like they tried to appease everybody, and they ended up appeasing no one.
Right. Well, the Bama fans are pretty doggone stoked.
But I just let's be honest, the fan bases, the bigger fan bases, are Texas and Alabama versus FSU and.
Man, how far have we fallen from the 90s?
Well. Honestly, they can thank TCU for that. That's what
You know,
everybody
I
does.
wonder about I wondered if the if last year's national championship scrimmage may have been having an outsized effect on the rankings
And
in the
here's
college
another
football.
thing, you know, if Georgia would have played Oklahoma this year and beat
Yeah,
them,
right.
then that, you
Then
know,
maybe we're in instead of Texas. Yeah. Or if we had just not false started on our own field goal and not lateral to Alabama at our own 10, we'd be playing right now. It would be the number one seed and the odds on, let me hear you, favorite to win a third straight consecutive national football championship. But if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, Ryan, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Speaking of which, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness, and of course, email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. We could probably sit here for the next 2 hours and just argue over college football playoff crap. But anyways,
Even when we largely agree with each other.
to hell with that. That there's that 15% where we don't.
There you go.
Anyways, so MJF, speaking of which, is being cut out of the Iron Claw. The Iron Claw, of course, being the upcoming film discussing the Von Erich family. Much parades and praise was being made of MJF being in this movie. He, of course, was going to be playing Lance Von Erich, not a true Von Erich, but I guess
Well, none of them are true Von
none
Erichs,
of them are
technically.
true Von Erich.
Not a true Atkinson, let's say.
Not a true kayfabe Von Erich. Well, I don't know. I
And
guess.
kayfabe he was, yeah.
Okay. He's not
He's
Fritz's
not related. He's not
biological
blood
son.
related. Yeah, he is not related to the Von Erich brothers in
Yeah.
any way, shape, form, or fashion.
So, not necessarily a big part of the Von Erich dynasty, other than to say, yeah, this happened. So, I could see maybe why they don't want to focus on it. I would have liked to have seen him get some lines in it. But according to Meltzer, we're limited to about a 10-second spot with no lines. And
Well, I should point out for the record, this is rumored to be the case. We don't know. Well, dude, we just don't know. So yeah, I don't know if that is the case or is not the case. I hope it's not the case for MJF's sake. Although to your point, I can see why you would kind of skimp on Lance's screen time. He's really not that important to the story, other than as a symbol of the eroding faith of the fan base in the Von Erichs. Which can be established in, you know, short form. That's not a big deal. But I think it's not any reflection on MJF, I had to guess. It's more of a timing issue because what I have also heard, you may have heard this as well, that Chris and Mike Von Erich have basically been merged into one character for the movie. To, you know, for time's sake and for continuity, I guess, sake.
oh, I don't know. That seems
That's what I
weird,
heard.
though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, honestly, and no disrespect whatsoever to Chris, but he is a fairly minor part of that story. I mean, he, you know, ended tragically, as did you know, all but one of the rest of his brothers. But yeah, he was not one of the big Von Erichs. He really, particularly not the big three. But even Mike was a bit of a bigger deal than Chris was due to his physical limitations. So,
I'm seeing Stanley Simons is playing Mike Von Erich, then I don't see anybody playing Chris. So
that's what I. So
maybe.
yeah, I've heard they've been combined.
Okay, so they're not creating a new. Okay, it's like, all
Yeah,
right.
basically they
So
rolled Chris into Mike.
they're
Yeah,
saying
they
it's all
rolled Chris into
Mike.
Mike.
Gotcha,
Yeah.
gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, and then yeah, you just looked it up there to confirm it. So thank you. But I am looking for very much forward. I was talking to somebody yesterday about it and kind of tell them, give them some of the high points and low points of the story. I'm like, man, we got to go see this. So look out for that probably around turn of the new year, maybe a bonus episode since we have particular plans for next year. Look out for our review of the Iron Claw.
The Iron Claw. But yeah, that's they cut him out, and I tell you, AEW may want to reach out to the producers and cinematographers and directors of the Iron Claw to learn how to cut some time out of their shows,
Cut it out.
because there is a serious problem with AEW going over their time limits allotted for their Dynamite shows. Which or Dynamite show rather, because that is live.
No shows, this happened multiple times.
And I mean, I believe week four last, going over 8 minutes,
My goodness.
which is unacceptable.
That's just poor time management.
And of course, Brian Alvarez, who is with Figure Four Online, then The Observer, who does a podcast with Dave Meltzer, seems to have the same issues that we do in that, hey, this is a scripted show. You should know how long it's going, and you should be able to end it on time.
Well, you're in control of how long it goes. I mean, it is your decision how long this goes.
Exactly. There's nothing stopping you from shutting it off
Right.
and just allowing the match to keep going.
Well, I mean, you have Tony Schiavone. If no one else can say, fans, we are desperately out of time. I mean, come on. That is Tony's trademark.
Absolutely. So Meltzer is of the opinion that he wants to compare this to a football game or a baseball game where
The only problem with that is it's not.
they routinely go over. And as you stated before I finished,
You jumped all over my Kurt Angle reveal the other day, so we're doing it. We're turnabout is fair play,
you
my
suck, you
friend.
suck, you suck. But anyways, yeah, they're he's of the opinion it should be compared to sports. It's not.
You said snot.
You don't write a baseball game. You do not produce. Well, I mean, I guess you produce
You produce, yes, but you do not.
the TV aspect of the game, which
Except for the NFL, you don't do not script sporting events.
you produce the observation of said game. You
Right.
don't. I mean, you don't even make the lineup. You keep score, you follow them. Actually, they just play the game and you tell them how they're doing,
Right.
basically.
Well, you tell the fans, they can't hear you.
Wrestling, on the other hand, is for the most part scripted, and you can shorten up a match, you
Tighten it up.
can do whatever you need to make it fit the TV time. Whereas in baseball, it is what it is, and that's what they signed up for. Not so much with wrestling. It needs to end at this point, out on this time, on this date, or
On this date, I see
you're not
clearly.
doing your job. So, Meltzer, on that exchange that he had with Alvarez, just gets his clock cleaned,
Good
horribly.
Lord.
And saying, well, maybe we should call and ask them to shorten it up. That's a great idea. Why don't you
Yeah,
do
that's kind of exactly what Brian just said.
that? That's a great idea. Why don't you call them up and ask them to not do that? I don't know. Meltzer,
God bless him.
again, he just has such a hard on for AEW.
His
It's,
loyalties show seep through pretty bad. Yeah.
tell you what else is pretty bad was that injury that Charlotte got last night.
Yeah. What's going on there? I don't. I'm not aware of this. As I mentioned or implied earlier, I was at a function last night, so I
She
missed.
was she had a match with Asuka and
And she was
performed
not ready for Asuka.
well. She certainly wasn't ready for the floor that she flipped out on.
It was there the whole time. I mean, she should have seen it coming.
She did her some moonsault, signature moonsault that she does out onto the floor, and she fell backwards into the what appeared to fall backwards into the announce table.
Ooh.
Like did not fall flat on it,
Right, hit the edge or something.
fell and hit, like fell down on her ass and
Oh.
hit the back of her head
Oh,
on the
no.
as she was sort of in a sitting position as she landed. We think that that's where that started, because the
That
match
seems plausible.
seemed to have ended abruptly shortly after that. She is claiming after the match that my knee, my knee, my knee. Of course,
Or did she say money, money, money? She needs more money to pay for
I don't
Andre
know.
being on his way out of AEW.
Well, it's no, he'll do it for free,
Okay.
and she got helped out of the ring. So we have there as of 1:06 p.m. on Saturday, December 9th. Peel the curtain back a little bit. We do not know the extent of that injury. It did not look good, though. Knee's one thing, but if she hit the back of her head, then this could be a
yeah. I mean,
big
head, shoulders, knees, none of that's good news, but of those specifically, the head would be the worst.
But anyways, get better, Queen. I hope you're okay. Really sucks if she has to take a break. She just recently came back.
Right. I feel like she didn't. Yeah, she re-debuted not that long ago.
Yeah.
Speaking of re-debuts, we just recently had our what seems to be the annual CM Punk is Back show. Last week, was it?
At least quarterly.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, he's back and better than ever, according to those who have seen him. It does look to be a little thicker, a little better shape. So, you know, that's good. I understand that his SmackDown promo from last night, again, I was not available, but I understand it was much better than some people had issues with the Raw promo being a bit lackluster. But where are we at on Mr. Punk?
Yeah, man, he had a good promo the other night.
Excellent.
He's used to saying something that's edgier rather than, I'm here and I'm ready to kick someone's ass. No, Kevin Owens and the Young Bucks are good friends. He's like, Kevin Owens, you and I are a lot alike, but, I'm not just going to sneak up behind somebody and punch him in the mouth backstage. I'm not like that. You shouldn't do that. And everybody's like, oh, he's talking about, of course, the Young Bucks. Or maybe he's talking about Jack Perry. I don't know. But anyways,
maybe he's talking about Sami Zayn. Noted Money in the Bank. Excuse me. Noted Money in the Bank case thief.
And, of course, he was called out Mr. Seth Franklin Rollins and says that, you're talking about you're the man around here, said you're not even the man in your marriage. Ooh.
Ooh.
CM Punk, it was a good promo. It definitely made up for Raw, the previous Raw. He, not that it was especially bad or anything, he just wasn't inspired, and it looked like they might have cut too much.
Well, and yeah, that would be a highly anticipated promo. His first in WWE in low these 9 years. So,
yeah. So, but yeah, CM Punk is back and we'll see how this goes. And I'm kind of looking forward to him and Kevin Owens, actually. Speaking of people that love CM Punk, Mr. Bischoff, Eric Bischoff, of course, was
taking Garrett.
He was taking some questions from his ad-free show family. And says that he would have loved to have had China back in the day.
Just ask Triple H and Sean Waltman about that one.
Well, seems that he believes that she could quite the in-ring competitor.
I noticed that we don't know if
he's referring to the wrestling ring.
Well, the Podfather got notably quiet during that exchange. I couldn't help but observe. He's like, okay, yeah. So now, I mean, Bischoff is right in that China was a star, certainly. She was a huge, huge deal, especially at the time. She broke the mold in a lot of ways for women featured on wrestling television. Let's just say it that way, with her look and her presentation. How she was marketed. I mean, she was a big damn deal.
All right, so this is his quote specifically. She could get in there and work with anybody and do very, very well. She was very physical, very adept professional wrestler. Not to take anything away from Sherry or anything away from Medusa.
But yeah, two actual female wrestlers.
But both of them, I didn't even notice this. He said, but both of them were kind of like, sometimes they're eye candy. Sometimes they're managers. Sometimes they're athletic. And sometimes they're rough.
Let me ask you this. Just out of the three of those that were mentioned, Sherry Martel, Medusa
There
and
it is.
China. Which one did Playboy and porn?
Well,
Like professional porn.
here's, you want to talk about eye candy, Mary F. Kill, China Medusa or Sherry.
Mary Medusa, F. Sherry, kill China. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah. Damn,
So
we
maybe that
were,
proves Bischoff's point. I don't know.
I think it
But
proves Bischoff's point that he wasn't really watching WWE that much.
yeah, or he's incapable of watching a match. I mean, if you got Chris Jericho to work with and Jeff Jarrett to work with, and of the men that she wrestled, Jericho in 1999 could have had a pretty decent match with me. You know what I mean? Like, either me now or me at 16 in 1999, he could have made me look pretty decent. Whew. Love Eazy-E, love Eric Bischoff. His is one of the that podcast network's shows that I do consume on a regular basis. I don't consume all of theirs on a regular basis, but his is one that I do catch pretty much weekly. But yeah, I'm going to say he's off on this one.
Yeah, I say swing and a miss on this
Yeah.
one, Mr. Bischoff. I mean,
Again, not to
obviously,
denigrate China, she was very important and a big star,
she was
but she was not a very good wrestler.
a physical specimen.
An attraction
She
is the
and
word he's
to her
used.
credit, she could take a bump. But
Except for the time she almost paralyzed herself, but yeah, sure.
I mean, no, I mean, if if she comes up and she, hits you in the nuts, or
That's not her taking a bump, but yeah, oh yeah, she can hit people in the nuts pretty good.
You cut me off again.
I know, I like that.
But if she hits you in the nuts, or Steve, I think, gave her a stunner or two. I mean, she was fine,
She sold the center better than Vince. I will say that. I will give her that.
but I'm not gonna say that she can work with anybody in the
God,
ring.
no.
No. You gotta get her in there with somebody that's gonna protect her. Because
Yeah, see
otherwise
what
she's,
happens if you put her in with Sable.
yeah. Let's talk. What's your favorite China Sable match?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. The one that I turned off every single time. Actually, no, I was 15 years old at the time. I was watching every second of that. Kidding me?
I watched it too, but not for the
Not for the
moves.
technical wrestling expertise, no.
No. But yeah, all due respect, China. Rest in peace.
Yes, truly a very sad story.
And 100% the ninth wonder of the world. I mean,
Oh, absolutely.
unlike anybody that you had ever seen.
She was a trailblazer for sure. I agree that she should be in the Hall of Fame, and she is
Absolutely.
now. I'm taking nothing away from her in that regard, but in the ring, nah, that ain't it, fam.
Well, I can tell you this, JD. China was a star. But we're here to talk about Starrcade 1992.
There it is. That's a segue.
We're giving a nice little segue on that one. Took place 12/28/1992 at the Omni in Atlanta. I'm from
The
South
Omni.
Georgia. Well, I'm from South Georgia, so I say Atlanta. Atlanta. I don't do that.
It's
Sounds weird.
Atlanta. No, there's no T in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Well, there's one. There's one at the beginning. But
And
yeah.
it's ETLANNA, Atlanta.
Atlanta. I go Atlanta. I give it an A to start off
Atlanta.
with. I pronounce the ATL. Everything else after that is negotiable.
8,000 people in attendance with 95,000 pay-per-view buys. This, of course, is the Battle Bowl. JD, explain to us what the Battle Bowl really is.
Overbooking.
Yeah. It's a great way to
So,
get your guys gassed at the end of the night.
right, yeah, it's a good way to make your audience see the same eight guys like over and over and over. Well, it start off in tag team matches, and then the winners of the tag team matches all wrestle each other at the end, basically.
Yeah, the winners, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The winning tag teams all then face each other, every man for himself, even the team members. At the end of the night. So you wind up with a mess, is what you might wind up with.
Get a really
But
sweet ring at the end of the night.
Yeah, did they do this again? This is the second Battle Bowl, right? Because they do make a big
Yeah, because I'm
presentation.
pretty sure didn't I think Dallas won it 1 year, didn't he?
You know
Was
what? They
it
must
because
have
I
done it at
was
least 3 years because Sting won this one and the previous one, right? So
Yeah.
Dallas did win the Battle Bowl probably,
Because
I'm going to
he used
guess,
to make
probably the
he's
next year.
yeah, he used to make a big
He
thing
had
about
that big ring.
putting the ring on
Yeah,
and then hitting.
that's right. MJF stole everything he knows from DDP. Not that he's the first one with a ring. I'm
I
just teasing about
literally
that.
just
But
remembered that, but yeah.
yeah, no, you're right. This was back when DDP would come to the ring chewing gum and smoking a cigar, which was weird. And he had the Battle Bowl ring. You're right. So they did it at least three times. Oh man, I remember watching this with the ring presentation to Sting. It's like they made him wait a year to get his ring. What is happening right now?
Well,
But anyway, we'll get to
I
that.
just love that they had the interview with Bart Starr on what it's like to have a ring, which I mean obviously he would know
Yeah,
to
I
a
mean,
point,
almost
but
30 years prior at that point,
yeah,
he would
so
know what that was about.
but anyway, since the first match features someone on your Mount Rushmore, and I'm of course referring to Mr. Van Hammer.
Obviously, yeah.
Why don't you take the first one?
I mean, you laugh if you want to. Name four better wrestlers that entered with a guitar.
Honky
I mean, he's on
Tonk,
my Mount Rushmore
Jeff
of guitar
Jarrett.
wrestlers. Yeah. Okay. Keep coming.
Let's
Do you have?
see.
I can think of two more.
Elias,
Elias. That's the one I was going to say.
Rick Boogs.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Rick Boogs, but he's not. He hasn't been around long enough yet. Max Payne.
Yes.
Max Payne was going to be the other one I was thinking
If
of.
he's been around for one match, it's better than Van Hammer.
Well, that's fair enough. No, Van Hammer, God bless him. I mean, you look at the guy and
I
you
guess
would
you could say
think,
Greg Valentine as well.
yeah, but okay, brought a guitar to the ring and clearly did not hate it every single step of the way. Other than Jeb Bush running for president, I have never seen anyone want to do something less and still do it than Greg Valentine dye his hair black and be in rhythm and blues. He did not want any part of that, but to his credit, God bless him, he tried.
Yeah, it's almost like dressing your kids up for church.
Right.
It's like
Yeah. It's like
they
they
hate every
hate
second of
all of
this.
it. But yeah. So anyway, yeah. So Van Hammer in Dangerous Dan Spivey, beating Cactus Jack. What are we doing? Come on, baby. And Johnny B. Bad. He's a bad man in 6 minutes and 51 seconds. They seemed uncomfortable working together. Yeah. Cause Van Hammer's in there, which hurt the match. Bad pulls off a hot move early with a Frankensteiner, which wasn't referred to by any name. Well, okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Scott Steiner gave the WCW announce team a let's say a talking to about calling this maneuver a Hurricane Rana rather than a Frankensteiner. Do I have that right? That's what I had heard.
I'm not sure.
I had heard in the later 90s the maybe it was Professor Mike Tenay, may it would be my guess. Got a bit of a lecture from the big bad booty daddy regarding the nomenclature of the Hurricane Rana versus the Frankensteiner. First time I ever saw it, it was a Frankensteiner. So that's what I, kind of know it as. Anyway, finish saw Johnny B. Bad hit his knockout punch on his own partner. And then Jack was schoolboyed by Hammer. So not only is Van Hammer in this match, he gets the cover, the count, and the victory. Thumbs down, Ryan, but what say you about this one?
I'll say this about Van Hammer. He had a good look.
Yeah, he looked great. He looked phenomenal.
He looked like a star. He wrestled like a sparkler.
Is he Man China? Is it would you say he's Man China?
he's
Tremendous
the
look, not ring worthy.
yeah, looked like a star, wrestled like a sparkler. He had that one match at that cl the Clash in Savannah that was actually pretty decent. As was that whole clash,
That actually, that yeah, we discovered a forgotten gem there, actually. So
maybe
that was one where Ricky Steamboat came back as the mystery partner to tag with Dustin, right? That was that same show. Yeah, that was a good show. That was a good show.
that's the best clash ever. Way to go, Savannah.
Maybe. Yeah.
But not good at all. God bless Mick Foley for doing everything he could to get these guys over.
Well, also bear in mind, this is not too long in the tooth for Mick Foley. He's a what, 4 or 5 year veteran here, maybe? He started in 87, 88, somewhere
Think
along there.
something like that.
Yeah. All
But
right.
yeah, he did his best, and unfortunately, his best wasn't good enough.
Well, I mean, we've got Dan Spivey as the veteran, former University of Georgia Bulldog Dan Spivey, I should point out, as by far the veteran here, because all the rest of these guys are fairly green. So, I mean, well, I don't know what you expected.
But Meltzer gives it a half star. I think that's pretty fair. I think the whole thing pretty much sucked.
Well, you know,
But up next, of
it
course,
wasn't great.
we got the kid, the prodigy, Dustin Rhodes, and Beta, taking on Kensuke Sasaki and Barb, aka the Barbarian.
Barbie.
Yet another one that just, for whatever reason, just didn't, I don't know, no chemistry in this,
Yeah.
between either side. Barb just wasn't up to the, he just had a bad night, I think. As Barbarian, I mean, usually can give you a pretty serviceable match, and dare I say, some of them have been very good.
Well, you know, you just got to play to his style. I mean, which is not, that's not a knock. That's everybody. You know, I mean, I don't think Bret Hart would have a great GCW match by their standard.
And I think maybe there was some communication breakdown between Kensuke and Barb, and
Yeah.
maybe for that matter, Vader and Sasaki. Dustin looked good, but it's a
Green still. Still green.
shorter match. But so and anyways, the finish saw Barbarian accidentally clotheslining Sasaki, and was a schoolboy by Rhodes for the pin.
So wait. Are you telling me that 2 matches in a row, one partner hits the other partner, leading to a schoolboy pin? Okay, good. That's good booking. That's solid. I mean, it's consistent
This is
booking, is
what,
what it
well,
is.
there's a definite sense of realism in this, as they are just randomly paired together.
Yeah,
Kayfabe.
I suppose
I don't
so.
know.
You could call it that, I guess.
I don't know if that is legit or not. I doubt it, but yeah, they don't it I mean if they're not going to be the Road Warriors.
Well, listen, you say you don't know if it's legitimate. If they were legitimately pairing people on the fly and not giving them any warning that they would even have a match, much less who they were, only an idiot would do that. And we're talking about W's. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, I guess it could, that could be the case.
Meltzer gives it 1 star. I'll stick with that, honestly. And you know what? I'm going to give it a half star. It was just as bad as the first one. Up next, we've got
Yeah,
the
thumbs down, same finish. What are you doing?
Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. I didn't have anything else for that.
Up next, there's the Wyndham, and my throat's starting to get a little sore. But anyways, there's
Welcome
Barry Windham
to
and
the
the Great
club.
Muda taking on Pillman and Too Cold Scorpio. Take it
There
away,
you go.
JD.
Listen, now this is an embarrassment of riches. I mean, we've talked about the relative talent base of the previous 2 matches. That is not an excuse here. I mean, Barry Windham, phenomenal worker. Great Muta, also phenomenal worker. Ryan Pillman, Too Cold Scorpio. I mean, I don't see a weak link here. Too Cold Scorpio probably a little bit underrated, but he's a hell of a worker. So, you know, especially in 92 before he got a lot of miles on him. So yeah. Dave says one of those matches looked really interesting on paper. Okay, to my point that all four are talented wrestlers, Windham and Pillman were going to team up later in the card, which is, you know, that's not a bad bit of booking. I don't hate that. Not a lot of heat, but the work was good. But, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of heat because these are allegedly random matches, right? Random cold matches. So yeah, there's not going to be much heat there. I don't blame them for that. Would have been nice to give them some more time. This, as I said, mentioned, it winds up in 6 minutes, 59 seconds. But Pillman and Wyndham had a 20-plus minute match later in the show. So, Andy, it all comes out in the wash, basically. Nice high spots where Pillman was in with either of the other two. Of course, he is I guess not yet, but about to become the foundation of the light heavyweight division with Jushin Thunder Liger. That hadn't happened yet, right? That's a little bit later in 92. So anyway, Women and Pillman, Wyndham and Pillman chopped the hell out of each other, went in together. Scorpio did a few moves I've never seen before. Again, he's underrated. Too cold takes a back seat to nobody. Included a new form of leg drop and somersault into the ring into a knee drop. Finish saw Wyndham hit Scorpio with a high drop in DDT, and Muda gets the pin victory with the moonsault. The Muda salt, that's right. I was really surprised to see them have Scorpio do a job this early in WC. I mean, it's not a singles job, and he got double teamed in a sense. So, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't blame. It didn't seem like a bad loss for Scorpio to me. I didn't think too much about that. Thumbs up. I thought it was a good match. And actually, this might be the best match on the card. I mean, it's up there. And that goes more to show the overbooking than the actual matches themselves. Because Sting versus Vader, as we'll get into later, is really good. Steamboat and Douglas also. The aforementioned Pillman and Wyndham match they tagged together. Those are both really, really good matches. But this is solid. I mean, this is on the medal stand for this show, certainly.
Yeah, I thought it is one of the more solid matches of the night for sure. You got Wyndham, Muda, Pillman, and Scorpio in here. You know you're about to see something, especially in 7 minutes. I mean, I felt like it could have gone longer. But I realize they've got a pretty stacked card and they need to keep turning them out. I think in this instance, Meltzer gives it 3.25. I'll give it 3.5. Great job, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's a good match.
Good to see
a lot Muda. Of excitement for a cold match.
Yeah, good to see Muda. Hadn't watched a Muda match in a while. So, up next, of course, we've got Mr. Stinger, Mr. Williams, and Mr. Liger, and Mr. Watts. Not Bill, Mr. Eric Watts.
And also Steve Williams, not that one, but Dr. Death Steve Williams, not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Punishment Dr. Death style. Mm-hmm. Meltzer makes note here that crowd's pretty much dead up until this point. Of course.
These are the biggest stars you've seen. Sorry, you got Sting and Dr. Death down here. Come on.
Sting is the biggest star, dare I say, in wrestling anywhere in 1992.
Yeah, you made a very compelling case for that. Yeah. Bret Hart is on the come up as a single, but he's not there yet.
And Hogan's on the way down.
Hogan's on the way down. Warrior's out of the game. Macho is kind of in limbo. Undertaker is still green at this point. He's not what he would become. You can make a very good argument that it's not Flair, it's Sting.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that it is Sting. Definitely the biggest baby face.
On the baby face side, 100%. Yeah, I would agree with that. I hadn't thought about it till you said it, but no, you're right. Sting's the biggest baby face in wrestling right now.
Meltzer apparently Meltzer didn't like this. I thought it was pretty good.
There wasn't anything wrong with it. I mean, they had three very capable workers to kind of couch the young Eric Watts. I mean, Eric is very early in his career. I'm not saying anything against him. Everyone sucks when they start, right?
Yeah.
So, it's not, Eric was terrible and it's the only reason he's there is his dad was pushing him. All that is true, but that's not his fault here. And he's got three very capable, as I said, workers to pull him through it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's complaining about Dr. Death getting a lot of offense against Liger. Steve Williams is twice his size.
What was going to happen? Yeah, what?
What you think they're going to trade in the middle of the ring? No.
I would like to see Dave Meltzer have the conversation with Dr. Death Steve Williams. Okay, buddy, I'm going to need you to sell for this guy that's 160 pounds and then 6 inches shorter than you. Make him look good. Put a little shine on that kid, okay?
I mean, all due respect.
Let me see that conversation.
All due respect to Jushin Thunder Liger here, but
love him, love him,
I love him. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time.
We talked about China as a trailblazer. Jushin Thunder Liger certainly a trailblazer. I mean, absolute Hall of Fame material all over.
And just one of the most toyetic individuals
Well,
ever.
yes, the luchador slash Japanese contingent, Japalucho, I'm going to say, tend to be very toyetic. I mean, him, Ultimo Dragon,
Even Rey Mysterio, I
Rey
guess you could
Mysterio.
say.
Well, yeah, Rey Mysterio in particular. Early Conan, back before he was Cholo. I mean, he had the same kind of, cool outfits and very lucha heavy appearance. So, Psychosis, my goodness.
Yeah. Super Kalo.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy?
Yeah. But no, Meltzer's crapping all over this. I didn't think it was that bad. I mean,
Yeah,
of course
I don't get
I
the
knew what to
criticism here.
expect here. And of course the fact that Sting's got the crowd going is worth 2 stars in my opinion anyways.
Yeah, Sting is 2 stars worth of over by himself.
So it's yeah, I guess he's upset that it's not main event and all this. Get over yourself,
Brother,
dude.
it's gonna be all right.
They gave Watts a spot where Williams got him in, or he got Williams in the STF, but of
I
course
mean, you're gonna
Death.
see Sting, what, 2 more times tonight?
Yeah,
Chill.
and Williams of course gets a hot shot in on Watts for the pin. Meltzer gives it star and 3/4. I think he's a little spoiled on this. I'm giving it 2.5. I thought it was fine. I thought it was
Yeah, it's a
pretty
thumbs
decent.
up match. I mean, like I said, we got three very competent workers here to help Eric Watson along, and he doesn't drop the ball on his end. It's perfectly fine. I thought, nothing wrong with this to me. Masa Chono versus, Great Muta for the NWA Heavyweight Champion, the big gold belt, as it were, at this point, because we are still a year out from the NWA WCW split. That's 93, right?
Do what now?
The NWA WCW split would be in 93, so we're still a year out
Yeah.
from that, right? So yeah,
Well,
so we're
you're 4 days away. Yeah.
Wait, what? Was it 92?
Well, it took place. This took place. What, December 28th, 1990.
Well, yeah, but I'm well, okay. Yes, fair enough. It is the previous year to the actual NWA WCW split. Sorry. Yes, it's in December of 92. So, yeah, the NWA title is still being promoted as such on WCW. Of course, it will eventually become the WCW International Heavyweight title after Flair brings it back from WWF. But yeah, this is a pretty decent match. I mean, Meltzer says it's not that they did anything wrong technically, but they did everything wrong in that most of the match consisted of maneuvers that mean nothing in the U.S. So it's obviously a Japan style match. Masa Chono coming in as the NWA champion, of course. In now we have one guy from New Japan, one guy from All Japan, right? In this, I'm not nearly the connoisseur of Japanese wrestling that you are. Was this one from each, or was this
Yeah,
both?
sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that it was. So in that sense, it's interesting because it's like, if there was a show in Japan where you had Stone Cold versus Goldberg, that's kind of cool. If you're an American, I don't know if the Japanese care that much like the Americans didn't really care that much. So there's two different promotions in Japan. So yeah, I think this is mostly a result of the American fans not knowing what they're looking at, because you got to remember, this is 92. This is pre-internet. Like, unless you were heavily involved in tape trading, you hadn't seen these guys at all, really. And would be completely unfamiliar with Japanese wrestling. I am not, as I said, a connoisseur of it, so I can't tell you a whole. I've seen Masa Chono and I've seen Muta, obviously, because they're big deals. But that's like only having seen Babe Ruth play baseball or Hank Aaron, play baseball. You don't know everybody over there, but the big guys. So anyway, let's just skip to the end of this one. It just, is an STF with Chono retaining over Muta. So poor old Muta doing some jobs here today. Dave ponders, did someone tell them to work like this? If nobody did, then the next time someone should tell them not to. I don't think it's that so much as that this audience doesn't know these guys. Muta missed a moonsault. Chono caught him in the STF. So how it goes down. Dave gives a star. I hate to give it a thumbs down because there's nothing wrong with the match, as Dave kind of pointed out, but it's dead because these guys, they're just not that known here. So I'm still going to give it a bit of a thumbs up, but it's a tentative one. If you watch it with the sound off, it's not that bad.
Yeah, the thing about that was that the crowd was cheering for Muta in the Battle Bowl.
Yeah.
I think
Well, I mean,
it's
they may have been, he may have impressed them here, is my point.
I mean, maybe, but I just it's just the sequences just don't translate very well. Whereas in Japan, we need to they want to see essentially a fight that they would see in the UFC, which is
Didn't exist yet.
it can be, rather bland.
Well, yeah, I mean, George St. Pierre is one of the greatest
If you
UFC
don't,
fighters of all time.
if you don't know what you're watching, you may not like it.
Then nothing's gonna look good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you like me, obviously I'm not a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master, but I know what they're working for on the ground. So I'll watch it. It's interesting to me. But to the extent that, this crowd right here, obviously Brazilian jiu-jitsu not been introduced to the US crowd at this point. Also, with Taekwondo and everything that's going on over there, it's just not it's not known to this particular crowd. And as far as technically is concerned, it's all sound what they did. I didn't see any screw ups, no botches, anything like that. It's just the sequence does not fit the crowd, and doesn't really fit at that point in time. I think that match, if they had it today, would probably get a higher rating.
Oh yeah. Oh, it'd be 17 stars. You kidding me? It's
Especially if it was in the
Japanese.
Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. Well, if that'd make it 17 and a half.
But not you don't need to do that in Atlanta. So,
Yeah.
but Meltzer gives it a star, and I'll give it a star and a half. Technically very sound. Just not, for 15 minutes it was kind of boring. To that crowd, and obviously some of that stuff just doesn't translate over. So up next we've got Ron Simmons retaining the title, beating Dr. Death Steve Williams. Another match that Meltzer was not too crazy about that I just disagree. It was not, you're not going to get a technical showcase with either one of these guys. You're going to get a fight. And
It's a Haas match. Yeah, this is a Haas
that's
match.
what I came here to watch, and that's what I got.
Yeah.
This is FSU versus was it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
And
Jesse will not let Jim Ross forget during this match.
yeah. And this Ron Simmons, of course, Warner Robins' own favorite son.
That's right.
Warner Robins, Georgia, of course.
Turned
He
his
played.
back on his home state to go to Freese Hughes University. But my condolences to Ron Simmons on their being left out of the college football playoff. Not to open that can of worms again.
But I would, that's somebody I haven't heard from on this. I can imagine what his response would be,
Please don't say it.
but Ron of course tells a story that he had been committed to play for Georgia.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody in Warner Robins is very excited about him going to Georgia,
Absolutely.
and then Bobby Bowden shows up, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Well, speaking of Bobby Bowden, I mean, a lot of this could have been avoided if he had, he and the administration at FSU had come to the SEC when they were first invited in 1991. But Bobby and the administration generally felt that the road to the national championship was too hard in the SEC. They feel like they had a straighter shot in the ACC. And he straight up said that. On multiple occasions. He's not wrong,
He wasn't
but
wrong at the
well, I mean,
time,
no, it's
but the
apparently no,
ACC
he
got
was wrong because
stronger.
you can't get there from here, apparently. You can't get to the national title from the ACC anymore.
Well, as I recall, the ACC got stronger in the 90s
Yeah, it
when
did.
he
Yeah.
said that. So maybe actually
Well,
during the
not just
maybe
in the
actually during
early
the 90s.
2000s, in the early 2000s when Miami and Virginia Tech came over, and then later on, Louisville and Pittsburgh, those teams.
And I mean, let's face it, the only team that was scary in the 90s in the SEC was Florida.
Tennessee was solid. That Alabama won a national
Tennessee.
title. Tennessee won a national, or excuse me, Alabama won a national title in 91, so, or half of one. No, yeah.
No, that
They
was
won a
Tech.
whole, they won a whole one. Tech and Colorado is the one that split.
Was it? They won in 91. I thought Tech won in 91.
Or maybe 92, I'm sorry.
Me
No,
too.
I thought Tech was 90 and Bama
Was it
was
90?
91.
I don't know.
Anyway, not the point. Early 90s is the point. Yeah, Bama won a title and Florida won a title in the 90s, and then Tennessee also won a title in the 90s. So, yeah, and you had three different SEC teams win one, and you had two different ACC teams, but one of them did it twice. So, yeah.
Miami.
She was no. They weren't in the
Miami,
SEC
that
yet. They were
was
in the Big
early.
East still. They were still in the Big East
Yeah,
when they won
that's right.
theirs.
They were Big East. That's
Tech
right.
won one whenever it was 90, 91, wherever it was. Tech won half one. And then Bobby won two at Florida State. Not back to back, though. Go Kirby Smart, your dogs.
And well, not to interrupt this history lesson, but
I told you I wasn't going to do that.
back to wrestling. Williams, it was kind of the only thing that I really didn't care for at the end of this was the finish. It was a initially ruled a double count out, and then they kept brawling after the match, and for some reason,
Yeah, this was weird.
Dr. Death did a little bit more hurting on Ron than Ron did on him, so Dr. Death gets the decision reversed for a DQ on Mr. Death, and Ron Simmons gets the win.
Dr. Death, he did not go to 4 years of death medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much.
You studied and worked so long, and eventually you become it.
You have any idea how difficult a death residency is? First of all, that's number one.
Well, it's an eternity.
Yeah, took forever.
Yeah. And Meltzer, of course, craps all over this. I thought it was, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, it was a brawl. And I saw a brawl, and I got what I paid for in this.
You saw the brawl, and the brawl won. No, this match would not have been out of place on Bonanza, and
Meltzer.
a barroom brawl,
But Meltzer gives it star and a quarter. I'm going to give it two. I thought it was pretty decent. So, what you
Yeah,
think?
the ending soured it for me. The second referee running out and reversing the decisions, like, wait, whoa, time out. If we can all of a sudden willy-nilly start reversing referee decisions, how's there ever a screw job finish again? Like,
Senior referee.
I did not care for the reversal of the finish simply because of the precedent that it sets. So I'm gonna give this a thumbs down, if not for the wrestling, then for the legality of it. So I don't like it. But to your point, yeah, this wasn't gonna be a I mean, if you like Japanese strong style, what the hell is your problem with this match, Dave? I mean, this is a hoss fight. What do you expect from Ron Simmons and Dr. Death? I mean, come on. This is right. This is a fine match for that. But yeah, I don't like the ending. Made me mad enough to not like the whole match.
I think this is fair to say that the next two matches is when it starts getting really good.
Yeah.
Up next, we got Steamboat and Shane Douglas taking on Pillman and Windham. Take it away.
Yeah, that would be Steamboat and Shane Douglas, the unified tag team champions, bearing both the WCW and the NWA tag team titles, defeating the aforementioned Pillman and Windham in 20 minutes. Good, nice long match. They had a good, time to do their craft, and they did it well. Even Dave says, good from bell to bell. Crowd was still in the door. A lot of these matches, just watch with the sound off, you'll come off with a completely different opinion. Douglas drop kicked Pillman off the ropes, or excuse me, off the apron, and Pillman caught his throat on the guardrail. I mean, he loved that spot. Pillman did that a number of times, which of course Steamboat had done prior with Savage, and then Savage goes after his throat with the ring bell, and that was a whole build to WrestleMania 3, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Originally, because of the height difference, Pillman and Windham looked like a mismatched team. The funny thing about that, and the opening of the show, if you notice, Ryan, when they announced Pillman and Windham as a match coming up, they had the wrong name in front of the wrong guy. So talk about mismatched. LOL, WCW. But no, I mean, I don't agree with David on that at all. I mean, opposites, help you out in a tag team, I would think. I mean, you got the Sound and the Fury, right? I mean, you got Pillman and Windham, a little guy, quick little guy and a big, powerhouse to come in and clean up. That's a
The
classic combination.
unstoppable force meeting the immovable object.
Well, in this case, they'd be on the same teams. They wouldn't be meeting. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Pillman has come a long way in a short time as a heel. Yeah, he's a cocky SOB. I mean, come on. Brian Pillman is a natural heel. Are you kidding me? And we love him for it. So Douglas takes the heat for a long time. Many near falls on him. Steamboat doesn't get into this match till the 16-minute mark, which is fine because by 16 minutes into the match, we have pretty much forgotten about his horrible, horrible entrance music when he came in, because that is just the worst. Is there a worse entrance music in wrestling? That's not just a siren screeching over and over like Scott Steiner or the Right to Censor. I mean, if something, whatever, he's a family man, loves his wife and kids and does the best he can. That, what the hell kind of song is that for a wrestler?
Hill Slaughter was just a big long drum line I thought was stupid.
I mean, at least it makes sense with the gimmick. But I guess this does too,
Diesel,
but this is dumb.
Diesel was just
the truck horn. Yeah. Thank you, Rocky. But yeah, it just, anyway, I hate that song, is my point that I'm trying to make. So Wyndham cuts off Steamboat quickly with a power slam. Then Steamboat takes a lot of heat. I mean, they're the baby faces here, so obviously.
There was, I'm a free bird. What is your excuse? That was pretty terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, Bad Street's so good, it kind of washes that out. Like, I am willing to forget about I'm a free bird. What's your excuse? If I can listen to Bad Street Atlanta GA all day long, baby. On loop. Loop that motherfucker.
Bad Street
Atlanta GA.
Baddest street in the whole USA.
Bad street, nasty and hot. And the further down the block you went, the better it got.
Oh,
that's right. Michael P.S. Hayes, baby. Love it. Love it. To this day. And I remember when we went to the live show and he was a special guest. I think you, me, and one other person knew all of the words. That's all. That was it. Like everybody forgot the
ending.
Yeah,
and I like how he was trying to hide, and this dude's got a sparkly purple hat on.
Oh, man. Have you seen the John Oliver Last Week Tonight on WWE? It's from several years ago now, but it's so good.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but when it was UWF, and it was Jim Ross and Michael Hayes on commentary, and JR's in a tuxedo. And Michael PSA says no shirt and a pink sparkly vest and his hair poofed up, and looking as only he can look. And
love
then John Oliver goes off on the, I know that wrestling's all about pageantry, but seriously, a tuxedo, Jim, can we tone it down just a little bit? Michael, as always, no notes. You look great. Keep living your truth. Abby and I laugh about that all the time because no one lives their truth like Michael PSAs. But he's not in this match. So we'll get to the end of it here. Steamboat and Wyndham both tag out and went to a four-way brawl, Pier 6 brawl, if you will. Then Shane Douglas pins Pillman with the belly-to-belly. Meltzer gives us 4.25 stars, and he's not wrong. I mean, this is a hell of a match. Thumbs all the way up on this one.
Right.
Right?
Wonderful match.
Yeah.
I would say yeah, I know you talked about the other one being the best one. I thought this was better.
Well, it's up there. Yeah, it's up there.
We're 1A, 1B here.
Right.
But
so I didn't like the next match quite as much as Meltzer did. It's still a thumbs up, but I didn't like it quite as much as he did.
I loved it. I love this next match.
Well, please tell us about it.
This has got to be one of Vader's best ones.
Nobody lost an eye here. What are you talking about? No one lost an eye or an ear or anything.
I said one. He still had one left.
I mean, if you got people losing body parts, I mean, that's tough to top.
Yeah. The only thing
Vader's had two of those matches.
The only thing that I was thinking about, I say the only thing, but one thing I was thinking about as this was going on was, man, these guys got one more match and they are going to be absolutely gassed.
Because it's the next match after that. Like, there's no break.
Because they start out hot on this. I mean, Sting gets a German suplex on Vader's big ass, and let's not overlook the fact of a do-rag Gator Vader here.
That's him too, yeah.
Gator,
yeah,
Vader.
Do-rag the often overlooked do-rag Vader, which might be best Vader. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Definitely the most based Vader
Well, I like how
is
he
Kester Sarah.
has Harley untie the do-rag. He doesn't just take it off. Harley unties it from the back. And bear in mind, Vader's already been in a match. Why does he still have the do-rag? Anyway, I love it. It makes no sense, which makes it perfect for WCW. I love it so much. Do-rag Vader is best Vader.
And of course, Vader known to be one of the stiffest workers in the ring. But Sting gave him a few receipts and made him bleed from the mouth.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling Vader is half a shoot, man. I mean, it's a fight.
You're gonna feel it. And Vader hit a big splash. King Sting kicks out, and they went back and forth with big moves. And Vader, big man, but known to go off the top rope.
An agile big man. I mean, I would say second only to Bam Bam Bigelow, an agile big man.
I would say he's more agile than Bam Bam.
Now, can he do a cartwheel?
Vader did a real moonsault.
I understand that, but you got momentum as a factor there, and you come from a height. Can he do a back? Can he do a cartwheel?
Well, Bam Bam can't do a moonsault. He does a three quarter.
He does the three quarter twist move, so I understand that. But my point is, I think that you have more help from the ropes and from height on a moonsault than you do with a cartwheel. That's all on
And
you.
I bet Vader probably could do a cartwheel. I just never
Well,
saw him do it.
we just haven't seen him do it. So I, again. It should be about what you have done, what not what might hypothetically happen. We're going back to Florida State in the playoff this entire episode. So yeah, no, I have seen Vader do a moonsault, which is wonderful. I have seen Bam Bam do a cartwheel. So I'm not
Okay.
gonna, yeah.
Did Bam Bam win the WCW title? No, he didn't.
No, poorly booked. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that.
Oh,
Did
okay.
Vader ever slam Taz all the way through the ring? No, I submit that he did not. Where was
I
Vader?
honestly don't know. He may
Where was
have done.
Vader in Major Payne? That's what I want to know. You tell me that right now. You tell me the scene. Give me the time code
Boy
of
Meets
when.
World. Come
Who
on.
was in Boy? Come. Who wasn't in Boy Meets World? Come on. All right. Yeah, that's
Bam
right.
Bam.
Silence.
Bam Bam was
Stunned
not in.
silence. Stunned silence
Bam
was
Bam was
your
not in
reaction for the
Boy Meets
record.
World. Bam Bam is not on Boy Meets World level. Topanga would kick him in the nuts if he showed up.
You know what? There is a non-zero chance I would let Topanga kick me in the nuts just to say she'd had some contact with him. Quite frankly,
She was rather impressed.
she was special with me to me for a very long time. All right, here we go. So, what do you think about the match, Ryan?
Lovely match. Sting gets the win after a power slam off the top rope on Vader, which was a decent looking spot, even though Sting was a little out of place on it. Meltzer gives it 4.5. I'm not going to give it 4.5. I'm going to give it 4. But still very, very good, and it is one of Vader's best matches, in my
No, it's an
opinion.
excellent match. Yeah, I still give it a thumbs up. It, you know, of the three that we've talked about being match of the night, I'm going to put this at three. But you know, at least it was a singles match, which is nice. But you know, it was good. I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just I really, really like the other two. So thumbs up.
Up next is the extremely gassed Battle Bowl Battle Royale between a bunch of folks. Take
Yeah,
it away.
a lot of people. Basically, all the tag teams that had won earlier are now all fighting each other, and not as teams, as individuals. So it's kind of a wonder that it lasted 14 minutes and 1 second. Dave would have it totally anticlimactic as the after the two previous bouts, which I can't disagree with. And also, nothing memorable occurred. All right, that's great. Van Hammer thrown out by Williams in 5 minutes, 55 seconds. Sting backdrops Spivey out in 6:30. So the people who are the freshest in this match get eliminated first, because that makes sense. Let's do that. Sting clotheslines Vader and both went over at 7:54. So classic letting the babyface keep his shine here. Williams and Rhodes both went over together again. Same thing. So maybe don't keep doing the same finish. But whatever. You do your thing. Both went over at 11:30, leaving Windham and Muta. Windham destroyed Muta for a few minutes, then threw him over, but Muta skinned the cat, which I don't know when that phrase first came into usage. I first heard it with Shawn Michaels, but clearly this predates that. Anyway, Muta comes back with a few hot moves and finally drop kicks Windham over. 1.5 stars. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's that bad, but it's still a thumbs down. It is a letdown. after what we've just seen the past couple of matches. So, and these guys are gassed. What do you want from them? I mean, this was overbooked, in my opinion. This pay-per-view was a little overbooked.
I think the only one that really wasn't gassed is the one that ended up winning.
Muta, yeah.
Muta, I think.
Well, Muta was a physical specimen. I mean, he was in tremendous shape.
Well, and it also doesn't help that Sting comes back out like right after his.
Yeah, like, I mean,
match.
Like turns around in the backstage area and comes right back out.
I mean, I don't know why they couldn't have said, hey, all the ones that don't have a, that aren't a part of this Battle Royale match, why don't we put them in a match just before the Battle Royale? But, anyways, yeah, Meltzer gives it a star and a half. I'll stick with that. It just, again, not necessarily bad. Everybody's tired. So it is what it is. Do you think that they should bring back the Battle Bowl?
No.
Yeah, let it live in time, right?
Yeah, now, let me say this. Can I say this? Knowing full well that the WWE already has Royal Rumble, I would more rather bring back World War III than Battle Bowl. Now, they brought back the correct thing. They brought back War Games. I would say put the top on the cage, maybe make it a little taller than the original, but still put a top on it. But yeah, they brought, of all the WCW gimmick matches that are like, you know, vintage WCW, they brought back the correct one in War Games.
Yeah. Well, that being said, I'll probably give this pay-per-view 3 out of 5. I thought it was pretty decent.
I mean, there's some doldrums, yes, but the good ones are really good. So yeah.
There was nothing that was offensively bad to me.
And that's a pay-per-view with Van Hammer in not one but two matches that you're saying that about. So
exactly.
That says a lot.
But anyways, JD, I guess we can go for the cover, the count, and the victory on this one. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Army of Smartness. And, of course, email that Gmail, armyofsmartness@gmail.com. JD, you got anything else you want to add?
Go Dawgs.
And hoo-ah, go Army, beat Navy.
Oh, yeah, that's today. That's at 3 o'clock, correct? Yeah, I need to get home. I need to skedaddle home and go watch that one.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be attending the Ghost Pirates game later on this evening. So go Ghost Pirates as well.
Good deal. All right. Well, that being said, I will bid our listening audience adieu. Adieu.